No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from the Lord. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and when all those things had happened at the cross, and the last thing that Ken wrote, read, he thirsted. They gave him some wine vinegar. His tongue was probably swelled up like a big thing, and he could hardly talk, but he took that. And what did he say? He says, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he died. And every one of the Gospels said he breathed his last. He gave up his spirit. "Father, into my hands I commend my spirit." When he said this, he breathed the last. "It is finished." So Jesus did not die necessarily from the cause of the crucifixion. Yes, he suffered, extremely so, but he chose the very moment that he should die. Now, there's another thing that's very interesting to find. There is darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. That's from 12 noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What was going on here? The sin of the whole world was laid upon him. And God could not look at that. That's why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But this was the divine purpose of God, that Jesus Christ would go to the cross and suffer. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes him his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand." You know, this was the fulfillment of the promise that God gave in the Garden of Eden. He says to Satan, "Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will crush his heel." On Friday, Good Day, was the starting of the crushing of Satan's head, because he chose exactly when to die. Another thing too, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Passover day, guess what it was? It was the last time a Passover sacrificial lamb could be sacrificed. In fact, that's the time that on the regular sacrifices that the Jewish people had, there was a sacrifice at 9 o'clock in the morning when he landed up on the cross, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when he gave his life for it. So first of all, Jesus chose when to die. Secondly, the Father was pleased to let him be crushed. Because of my sin. God wants to have a relationship with every single last one of us. He died for our sins. You know, he conquered the death sentence that hung over me. The death sentence, because I'm a sinner and I belong in eternity separated from God. And he died so that that death sentence could be passed on and I don't have to worry about that death sentence. He died for our sins. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, "When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he trusted himself to him who judges freely. He bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." I have a document at home written by a physician who documented all the things that happen in a human body when they're crucified. I'm not going to go into it this morning, but we know that he was brutally agonizing, and it was a tremendous suffering that he experienced. It was devised by the Romans. It started by the Phoenicians and kind of fine-tuned by the Romans. It was a place of capital punishment and also deterrent for the people. Jesus' conviction by the Jewish court and the Roman court was a travesty of justice. There's a whole list of about 7 or 8 things that the Jewish people did wrong. But you know, that couldn't stop God's God's will from happening. There was no legal evidence that was presented strong enough that he could even be convicted in a Roman court. There was an illegal trial at night. There was a dereliction of responsibility by Pilate. What a wimp. He was swayed by the people. He says, this man is innocent. Oh, but I washed my hands of it and had him whipped or flogged. There's a few incidental things that happened that kind of struck me as interesting. He went willingly to his arrest. In John, it says he walked toward them. Who are you looking for? Well, we're looking for Jesus. Well, I'm he. Let these other guys go. He willingly submitted himself to the trial as they spit on him and beat on him and the crucifixion. One of the things that we as human beings do is we don't like pain, and usually we fight it. When that centurion who was in charge of that crucifixion saw how Jesus reacted to the application of those nails and hanging him up on the cross, it says that he stood in front of Jesus watching what's going to happen. During the trial, Caiaphas, the high priest, ripped his clothes when Jesus says, I am the Christ. Uh-oh. A high priest never should have his hair uncupped or rip his clothes. So he was in sin. So he could not offer a proper sacrifice on that day. Symbolically, I believe that he gave up his responsibility. And we read in Hebrews that we have a high priest in Jesus Christ. So symbolically, Caiaphas gave up his priesthood to Jesus. And what did they do with his clothing? They didn't rip him apart. They cast lots for it, and there was one tunic that was totally from the top to the bottom. And what did they do? They cast lots for it. His clothing was not ripped. Oh, the thief was accepted by Jesus, which was kind of neat. John, his disciple, took care of his mother because Jesus was the oldest, and the responsibility in that time always landed on the oldest son. Another thing he did is he forgives the Roman soldiers for doing what they were doing to him. This centurion probably had presided over many crucifixions. A centurion was in charge of at least 100 guys. And I find it interesting that the centurion was the one that's leading this. And he heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here's this centurion seeing this. He didn't fight and curse us and swear at us when we drove those nails in. Jesus himself had a deep lostness when God had to turn his back on him because of my sin. Because of Caiaphas' sin, Jesus died for all the sins of the world, and God had to turn his back on him. As the darkness lifted probably and Jesus cried, it is finished. There was an earthquake. The curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. There was some graves that were open. In Mark 15:20, it says, the centurion who stood in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died. He says, surely this man was the Son of God. On this Good Friday, I hope you can make it the best Good Friday that you've ever had in your whole life. Because if you're sitting there and don't have your sins dealt with, that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, if you've never told him that, if you've never said, yeah, Jesus, you died for my sins, I pray that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved through him. Dear friends, let's make it a good, good Friday. And if you are encouraged by these words that I share with you this morning, let's rejoice with the fact that Jesus died for us. Because Sunday's coming. And we're going to be able to rejoice with the resurrection, because this sets the stage for our glorious risen Savior. Yes, he died. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he was put in the grave. But Sunday's coming, dear friends, and we can rejoice with that resurrection enthusiasm up from the grave he arose. I trust that this Good Friday would lead you to great worship for the resurrecting Sunday.